Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to our Tuesday call for week two of I Am Erotic Innocence. The overall theme for this week is Taoist sacred sex, and specifically going into some foundational practices before we start working more with the sexual chi or the sexual life force energy. Or that erotic energy in a more intentional way. For today, we're going to start with a belief inventory, going through the beliefs that we have absorbed through culture, family, friends, schooling, all of it around sex, sexuality, our sexual expression. And sift through those and decide what do I want to let go of and what do I wish to carry forward. And that may involve rewriting many of those beliefs. I found when I did that, I was like, wow, there was a lot of negativity put on me. And I don't want to take that forward. So I rewrote a bunch of them. So we'll drop in with a little meditation to go into our journaling with the beliefs. And then after that, we'll go into a foundational technique in Taoist sacred sex called the microcosmic orbit. And this really allows us to build a strong circuit. If you imagine your body like a circuit board and it could only hold a certain amount of charge. This will allow you to safely increase the amount of energy that it could hold. And a delightful consequence of this is that can increase your orgasmic potential. So rather than having its little sharp, superficial orgasms, you can have more of those like full body, all-encompassing, transcendent, heartgasm, indescribable type orgasms. So, yay. All right. So, we'll go ahead and start by just dropping in for a little grounding meditation. I'd suggest staying seated upright for this, just so we don't go too deep, too quickly, because you'll be writing soon. So, let's go ahead and find a comfortable seated position. And we're going to start by shaking off the day. Whatever has happened, we're going to shake off through the wrists, shake the shoulders, maybe buzz the lips, do a little bounce with your sound, with your movement. Oh, and when you feel complete, just settling, slowing into a more still point, feeling the subtle energy, how it's moving through the body. Ooh, maybe there's some tingles, waves, pulses. And just intending for all parts of you to come here right now. Maybe there was some scatteredness earlier. Maybe your attention was being called many places. We're just gonna bring it all here now. And let's take a deep cleansing breath in through the nose, out through the mouth, in through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Noticing the space between your brows and relaxing that area, relaxing the eyes, relaxing the jaw. Allowing the space to open between the teeth, the tongue, the joints of the jaw. Bringing your awareness into your chest, allowing the breath to open the heart, directing your awareness down into the belly, softening the belly, and allowing the breath to move all the way down into the pelvic floor, into the hip bones. Feeling that gentle stretch all around the pelvic bowl. Feeling that breath move all the way through the pubic bone, out the sides of the hips, and all the way expanding into the sacrum, the tailbone, the lower spine. And imagining with your in-breath that pelvic bowl expanding in all directions before relaxing with the exhale. Feeling the sensation of the breath as it moves in through your nose and out through your mouth. In your own rhythm, your own time. Noticing the sensation of the air. And from this still point, allowing your awareness to move back in time. To your childhood, to your first memories around sexuality, sensuality. Just noticing as you move forward through these memories, what were you picking up about sex and sexuality from your parents? Your friends, maybe your schooling, TV, movies, books, poetry, your own direct observations of others, and even your own early experiences with sex. And as all of those beliefs start to percolate upwards, taking your journal and allowing yourself to free flow write out all the different statements of beliefs that you've picked up through time, particularly in your earlier years, maybe into early adulthood, the ones that were sort of shaping your psyche. So if you were to fill in the blank for this journal prompt, it may look something like the beliefs that I picked up about sex from family, friends, culture, school, etc., growing up are. And just listing them out. Some of them may be more positively nuanced, others more negatively nuanced, some in between, matter of fact. And as you write out each belief, just noting any sort of emotional charge that may be associated with that belief. And just noticing how that landscape of the emotional charge changes as you write out each belief. What are you picking up on? Whether you heard it from somebody else or you thought it yourself through watching, through observing. What were the beliefs about sex, sexuality, sexual expression? And whenever you feel like you've got a pretty substantive list, or you start to feel complete, whether you'd like to share some of these in the chat or unmute your microphone and share verbally, I know that some of what I picked up on, a lot of it was through my school. It was a lot about how sex leads to unwanted pregnancy and illness, STDs, STIs. It seemed messy. Sex seemed messy. It seemed complicated. There, I picked up from like movies that like sex complicates things, and like watching it in the people around me in their relationships when I was a young teenager, and watching my girlfriends, my guy friends start to have sex and just noticing how that would affect their dynamic. Maybe there was a lot more drama all of a sudden. But then there were also these things I was picking up on that, like, sex was really awesome, right? It seemed like this thing that everyone was really stoked about, or it was really delicious. I mean, it seemed like everyone wanted it, all the movies glamorized it. It was very like, ah, oh, so it seemed like this kind of, I was a brought up Mormon, so it was simultaneously this like gift from God, but like you can't touch it until you're married, and if you do, you go to hell, and even if you're married, if you do it for pleasure, you might go to hell. You should only do it for procreation. It was very confusing. I was like, what is it? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it pleasurable? Is it not? So whenever you feel like sharing, I'm happy to hear what y'all were picking up on as you were growing up.
Okay, I'll go first. I have one very early memory. I was probably only about 5 or 6, and I grew up in a household with a mother and father who remained married, like never got divorced, always remained together for almost 50 years until my dad passed away. And my mother was always a very utilitarian woman, wonderful mother, but like she didn't wear makeup, she didn't like get dressed up. She was very pragmatic, right? So we went into the city to see a play, like live theater. And this is the first time I had ever seen live theater. I was like 6 years old, and there was this woman on stage, and she was acting, and all of a sudden she like crossed, she was wearing a long dress, and she crossed her leg, and I saw that her toes were red, and I'm like, "Mom, what is that? Why are her toes red?" And my mother explained to me that that's called nail polish. And some women paint their nails and other women paint their toenails. And I was just like mind blown. And I'm like, "But why does she paint her toenails?" And my mother was explaining to me, "Well, people find it sexy." I'm like, "What is sex?" And all this. And so my world was just like opened up, that there was this whole other world that I didn't know about that was clearly very exciting. So exciting that someone was going to the extent of painstakingly painting their toenails, like a seemingly benign detail. Like, who cares about toenails? But it was very sexy to me. And to this day, like, that image is like seared in my mind. And guess what? Red toenails.
Yes.
That's all.
I love that. Thank you. I never really associated toenail polish as like a sexy thing, but
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. I love that that was such like a
Yeah.
impactful experience. Beautiful. Thank you. Who else would like to share?
I'll share. Can you hear me okay? I'm
Yes.
using headphones. Okay. Yeah, when you spoke about your Mormon upbringing, I was raised Jehovah's Witness. I think I had mentioned that to you. And I kind of got stuck in my 15-year-old self because there was so much to say there. I do remember an earlier memory of being shamed for masturbation and told that it was sinful and wrong and God could see me. And so I remember a lot of confusion around the fact that something felt good to my body and, innocent, because it wasn't even related to sex at that point, but it was so bad. So I almost think that was like a big part that I felt I disconnected from my body because I couldn't trust it. And then where I kind of stopped in my journaling or didn't finish was the 15-year-old self of like this girl who was so good and proper, only child of two parents, and trying to be perfect in every way, yet drawn to boys, and such a passionate like person in life and love, and fell in love with this boy that I was secretly dating, and we ended up having sex, and then we got caught, and I got disfellowshipped from the church where you're like ostracized. And so it was a really tough time because I had these two parts of me, one that wanted to, be a good kid for my parents because I loved them and adored them, and one that wanted to just live my normal, natural impulses of being a young girl, So it was a very confusing time, and I ended up sort of disconnecting completely from any kind of arousal in any way. And I would like redirect my mind and retrain it to think of awful, terrible things. So you can imagine what a literal mind fuck that was later in life when I tried to have sexual relationships, when it was okay when I was married to my first husband. So anyway, that's kind of where I stopped. There was a lot of stuff there,
Yeah.
and here I am. So
Yeah.
that's
Thank
where
you.
I'm at.
Yeah, and feel free to all of you, feel free to, we only have so much time on these calls, but if you ever feel like you need to continue on with the journal prompts, I highly encourage you to really do it until you feel complete with the exploration. And Elise, I resonate with the being shamed as a child for masturbation. I got caught at about 6 years old masturbating inside of a laundry basket. I learned that if I squeeze my legs really hard, this really pleasurable sensation happens in my yoni, and the laundry basket would keep my legs tight together if I scrunched up in a certain position. And my godmother, she's from El Salvador, this little El Salvadorian lady, tough as nails, and she walked in, and I was pulling like my underwear up my butt at the same time to create like more pressure. So I'm like contorted in this little basket with my legs pressed together, pulling my underwear up my butt crack, and she sees me and she slaps my hand and she goes, "Cochina, no hagas eso." And it was like, "Dirty, dirty little girl, don't do that," and I just was like, I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't know that it was masturbation. I didn't know. I was just like, I don't know, when I do this, it feels really good. But apparently it's bad. And so, of course, I just learned to do it in secret. It's like, okay, well, this is not something that anyone can see me do, or that's bad. So it went undercover. And then on top of everything, I was growing up in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is like literally Sin City. So I was just bombarded with like sexual imagery on billboards and strip clubs, and it's everywhere. You know, my arcades are in casinos, and the casinos have like all the naked pictures of women. And so I resonate a lot with the confusion and the mixed messaging and the glorification with like the shaming. And it's so common, so common. So thank you for sharing. And I see Misty or Dory in the panel, if either of you would like to share.
I just realized I don't remember the innocence. I don't remember it ever feeling like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Any memory I have is like, no, I know what I'm doing. I know I have to like hide it, or like I know it's like daring to do this, or I know it's like wrong. It always felt like wrong. My mother, I think she struggled herself with her own views on sexuality, and so she wanted to be this progressive feminist woman, and she was like, no, you can talk to me as a child, even like, I don't know, 8 or 10. The messaging was very much like, yes, sex is a thing and it's okay to have sex, but men are just using you. That's like the biggest one that like she kept like repeating and ingraining to me. And every woman is the same. Every woman's the same. And then after you have sex, the magic or the sparkle of things is gone because that's all they want. So, yeah, it always felt like the messaging was women do not enjoy sex. Like it was never, it was like my own pleasure or my own enjoyment of it was never part of the conversation. It was very much like yes, sex is almost like a tool, almost like a manipulation tool, to be honest. And yeah, I think it, in a way, I sort of understood like, okay, this is her idea, and then I still found it like fun to explore and do whatever I wanted to do, but it always felt like, okay, but this is wrong. But this is like, it needs to be a secret. It needs to be like we're breaking the rules, and that's also like which made me like Catholic, like you're always gonna be a little kinky, but like if it always felt like, oh, this is the wrong thing to do. That's why it's like so good. But it always had that connotation. And I also Jennifer, your story kind of prompted one of the youngest memories I have, and I did ballet and I danced my whole life, and I'm from a small town, and a big company from the capital of Venezuela, from Caracas, came to give like a master class weekend, and then for the students, and it was an open thing, they had a number for us to go see them. And it was a contemporary piece, and they were wearing very tight flesh tone unitards, and it was very sensual. Like they were touching, like the movement were like they were touching each other. And I remember feeling like so embarrassed that I was the one that was taking my parents to see this, because I had taken the class, and when the thing ended, I'm like, oh, what are they gonna say? What's gonna happen? And I remember my mom say, oh, I loved it. That was so good. And I'm like, I was like, a connection was made in my brain. Like, if it's artistic, if there's like art involved, it's fine. So if you're nude, if you're touching like anything, if it's artistic, you're good to go. You're golden. None of it is wrong. So I think that actually helped me with like not just having that just one perspective on like sex is this dry thing that you just use to manipulate men.
I resonate with the messaging of like using sex as a almost like a bargaining chip. I like that tool of manipulation. Like, oh, you can get him to do this if you put sex on the table. Again, very common. That's a it's a aspect of the distorted feminine current is exploitation through manipulation, and the way that that manifests is like the seductress. The there's like a version of it that is not really in like the distorted archetype, but when it's like to exploit through sexuality, that's one of the ways that a distorted feminine current can manifest. And in this book that has the microcosmic orbit beyond Tantra, healing through Taoist sacred sex, the it's written by a husband and wife team. And the husband talks about in the beginning that he was brought up to believe that women don't like sex. Like it's like a chore for them and they're just doing it to please men. And he needed, they both needed to break through that together. And he was like dumbfounded when he realized his wife actually enjoyed sex. It shifted a lot for them. So again, thank you for sharing. And then Missy, would you like to share?
Yeah, so not to repeat some of the same things like the church. And thanks, everybody. That was some really good points. Dory, your point was really good about that's all that men want. I hadn't thought about that. It's very true. I was taught the same. So I just remember sex was really private. There was absolutely nothing innocent about it. Only the wild people are the ones who did it shamelessly or talked about it out loud. Everybody else, it was either supposed to be a secret. And then, of course, I grew up in the church. So there's, you don't talk about it and unless you're like married. And even still, I still have family members. Like my mother will say, well, they're married or they're not or whatever. And I'm just like, because that matters. Anyway, I remember when I was young that I was curious about it, with myself, but I wasn't interested in sharing it. Sharing it felt like unsafe, or dirty or bad. And I was a late bloomer and I had some friends that were like not. So they were really at a very young age, like doing things that I just thought was I don't want to do that with someone. But I also, bringing this up now is like, I also was afraid to touch myself, or it's like I was excited about it inside, but it wasn't, I, it's like as if, mom was in the room or someone else was like, I was going to be in trouble if I did it. So that was a good one that I hadn't thought about. Yeah, it was anything but innocent, that's for sure. And then my first sexual experience, I was taken advantage of. I didn't have a say so in it. And so that felt very like, it took my innocence away. And then I realized many years later, and I'm probably going to discover more in this container about how I allowed that. It's like continuing to like relive, not consciously, but like energetically. And so I attracted a lot of abuse in my sexual abuse. And I worked in clubs and had lots of fun, and I also like shaking my booty was great. And then I got a boyfriend at like 14, and we were together for years, and everything we did was sex, you know, and it was super healthy and super great, and we had the best fun, but it was that one person, you know. So, and we didn't really talk about it with grown-ups, but I know everybody knew. Like, you know, so I kind of felt like a grown-up really early in my life, but then after that, being promiscuous was really, you know, it's the you're the whore, or the guys have the right to do it, but the girls are condemned for it, the same thing. So, anyway, that's a good chunk.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And I was, noticing as I spoke to more girlfriends about their first time experiences, their first sexual experience, I was, yeah, very like, wow, when I realized how many women's first times are either non-consensual or they're not really there, like super altered, super drunk, high, drugged, just feel pressured, confused. It's suddenly happening. They don't really know what's going on. Different degrees of force upon them. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart. And I felt so lucky that mine, was I was 15 years old. I had a 15-year-old boyfriend. We were both virgins and we were both just bumbling around. And it felt very sweet and innocent. It was like, yeah, I mean, it was so funny. I had so many funny experiences, like the first fellatio. And I was like, is this good? And he's like, could you use less teeth? While he's like wincing. We didn't know any better, and we just were everywhere, in the car, in the park, and they were like, whoa, what's this world? And I felt very blessed to like have that as my initial experience, but then it was like everything thereafter, like you were saying, it was like that one. It was like everything after it just seemed to get more and more tainted, and then it got like traumatic. More and more traumatic as time went on, and then that seeded a belief in me that was like sex is traumatic, it leads to trauma, and that was like the root viral belief I realized that I didn't want to carry forward the first time I did this. And I rewrote, it was a very powerful moment. It was when I went through this book, The One and Only Relationship. I actually did this whole book, the whole foundation with someone. Highly recommend, leads to the most transcendent sex of your life. And we were doing this, there's this belief inventory exercise that we're doing now in this book, and I rewrote that. I rewrote sex is traumatic to sex is healing. I crossed out sex is traumatic and I wrote sex is healing. And as I was writing out the word healing, I felt full body chills and I just started sobbing, sobbing. And everything changed. And so, in that spirit, now I invite you to look at all that you've written and contemplate now what would you like to let go of? You can just do this mentally, you can physically cross it out if you wish, but just kind of look through this list. And when you come across a belief you don't want to carry forward, you can, exit out and then rewrite it into the positive form. So for example, if it was, sex is only okay if it's artistic, maybe you would rewrite it to sex is incredible all the time in any form. Whatever you want it to be, right? This is you. This is your beliefs. You get to choose your beliefs. So what do you want to have it be moving forward? Maybe if it was sex shouldn't be talked about. Maybe it's, I love speaking about sex with my close friends. It's really fun. Whatever you want it to be. So we'll take some time now. And you could go through one by one. If you don't want to carry it forward, you can exit out, rewrite it. And if there's a belief that you wrote in there that you'd still like to carry forward, there was somewhere in my experience where I was like, oh, sex is a gift from God. Somehow that got in there, even through all the crazy church stuff. Oh, and I was like, I want to keep that one. I'm gonna keep that one in my back pocket. So not all of these will be rewritten. Maybe a lot of them will. But go ahead and just what is the most empowered version, the most empowered statement of each of these? What do you want to embody moving forward? Because remember, what you believe becomes. You are always outpicturing your beliefs as your external reality that is reflected back to you. You're like a little projector putting out the screen onto the screen of consciousness, your play, the outpicturing of all your beliefs, your thoughts, and then they're being reflected back to you. So, what do you want your movie screen to play? What's the opposite of shame? I thought about this. I feel like shame, the opposite of shame is celebration. I picture shame as like you're like, hush, you feel really bad about it. You don't want to talk about it. You feel awful. So for me, it's like the spirit of celebration is like, I'm loud, I'm proud. It's like authentic pride to me is also like an opposite of shame. Authentic pride. Celebration, pride. If you tune into the energy of shame, it's very closed, very tight, constricted. So what would be the opposite of that? Open, deep breath, joyous. And thank you for dropping that in the chat. If anyone has any questions at any point, feel free to drop them. And just being aware as you do this, you're a very powerful creator. You create your world. So most people do this subconsciously, unintentionally. They let whatever has they've sponged, whatever they've absorbed, just drive their reality. But now that you're aware, you have choice in the matter. You can decide, what do I want to let go of? What do I want to move forward with? What do I want my reality to be? What do I want to express? What is my highest viewpoint? My most feel good expression, belief set around sex and sexuality. What is that? Write that down and let that be your reality. If my reality could be anything in the world, what do you choose for it to be? And as examples, when I was rewriting a lot of my sexual beliefs, there was one that was like, sex leads to unwanted pregnancy. And then I rewrote it to, I am completely aware of my body in deep communion to my womb. And I only bring life into the world when I desire. It could even see how it could be like not even directly related to sex, but it's like, what of that statement do you want to rewrite? I want to live a reality where I feel fully aware of my body cycles. I feel deep trust in my body. When I wrote out the belief because of my early experience that sex leads to illness, yoni illness, yeast infections, UTIs, da 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 da, I was like, sex leads to my yoni feeling incredible. Period. My yoni feels and smells delicious after sex. Whatever you want it to be. Sex, when I thought sex is leads to trauma, sex is healing. When I thought sex complicates relationships, I rewrote it to sex deepens relationships. Sex deepens intimacy and closeness and bonding. I mean, there were even some beliefs of, I had some more promiscuous friends, and there was that belief that like casual sex is fine, it's good. And I believe that in a moral sense. I don't believe it's morally good or bad, but for me personally, I really enjoy sex within a loving, committed relationship. So I got to write that out. I enjoy sex within a loving, committed relationship. And that's okay. Again, you get to choose your game. That's what I noticed for myself actually felt good for me as I experimented. I tried to have one-night stands, it just never really worked. Always turned into dating. Gave it the good old college try. Never worked. Honestly, I really only tried it once. It's like, it's not for me. It's not for me. And even him, I dated for a month. And when you feel that you've gotten a nice list of these fresh, empowered beliefs around sex and sexuality. If you'd like to share them in the chat, you're welcome. Or if you'd like to speak them aloud, I'd encourage you to speak them aloud again to use the power of your word. This is your declaration moving forward. What is sex for you now? What are your beliefs around sexuality moving forward? And like declare it into the field. And if you feel ready to do that, you're welcome to unmute your microphone and share.
I'll hop in. My beliefs about sex is open and erotic. It is beautiful and life-giving. Sex is God. Goddess. Sex is something that I do and I love to do it. Sex is celebration itself. It is authentic pride. Sex is for myself to enjoy myself and others. Sex can be expressed loudly, and I love being proud to share my sensual self. Sex is safe. Sex is innocent. I love to touch my body. I feel deep trust with my body. Sex leads to even more deliciousness. Sex is healing. Sex deepens intimacy, closeness, and bonding in relationships. Sex feels good. Sex is a healthy way for me to express my deepest and most beautiful flavors. Sex is magic.
Thank you. And just noticing, I don't know if y'all feel it in your bodies, but just listening to those statements, they like, I feel such like a deep warmth. I feel a giddiness. I feel an openness in my chest. So like become aware, when you speak these beliefs, what is that? What's being elicited in your cells? And do you want more of that in your reality?
I feel like an innocent child. It's
Yes.
almost like a little, it's like so much excitement and then like a little bit of like, whoa, like,
I
it's
deeply
really good.
resonate.
Yes.
That innocent glee. I feel like a gleefulness. Who else would like to share?
I'll go. Sex should be fun and playful. Sex should feel safe and comfortable. Sex should be a sharing of positive energies. Sex should be inquisitive and ever evolving.
I have a request of you. Would
Yes.
you reread those? But instead of should, would you say is?
Is. Okay. All right. Sex is fun and playful. Sex is safe and comfortable. Sex is a sharing of positive energies. Sex is inquisitive and ever evolving. That sounds better.
It brings it into that really that present
Yeah.
now. Right. Yes. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Who'd like to go next?
I can go. Women naturally enjoy sex and sexuality with all of their senses. Men and women connect sacredly through sexuality. Men see me and love me for the full, complex, all-encompassing human I am. Sex is empowering. Pleasure is my natural state. I can enjoy my body in slowness and deep presence. I am aware of what my body wants and needs at all times.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And Elise, would you like to share? Oh, like you can't hear me? You can hear me. I can't hear you because your mic is muted.
Now
There you go.
I took off my headset. I don't know, it was really weird. It wouldn't even let me like turn up the volume on my computer. I've never seen that. Anyway, sorry, I missed Doris. I'm so sad. I was like, oh, no one can hear you. Oh, it's just me who can't hear you. All right. Well, I'm sure it was great.
So you can watch it on the replay. Scan to
Yeah,
Dory's beautiful
exactly.
face. You'll hear it.
Okay, I don't know what you're saying. Did I interrupt?
No, I was asking if you'd like to share
Okay.
your beliefs.
So I have two, and I want to feel it when I say it because I feel like it's important, like you said, to speak it. So I am proud of my sexuality, and I celebrate my sexuality.
I have an invitation for you. I'm going to have you keep repeating those. And as you continue repeating them, really feel that feeling get stronger and stronger in your body. So just keep repeating that.
I like that homework. Thank you.
Oh, we'll do it a couple times
Oh,
here.
no. Here. Okay. You're like,
A couple times here. Yeah.
no,
We're here to
right
witness.
now. Okay. Oh, I am proud of my sexuality. I celebrate my sexuality. I actually wrote sensuality, but I like both words. So it's like interchangeable. I am proud of my sexuality. I celebrate my sensuality. Did you feel it?
Do you feel it? I'll leave it for more homework. Really, like, full drop. Like, I want you to be like shouting this from the rooftops as
Yeah.
the sensation, you know, like, ah, oh, I'm proud, you know, I'm
Right.
proud, I celebrate, I feel it, move with it, you know, I'm proud, like, hold yourself when you say it, you know, okay, thank you, thank you. Alrighty, my dears, thank you so much for sharing. As I thought might happen, the beliefs inventory takes a little longer. So, and as you could see, it's like a almost a Pandora's box. There's you could go deeper and deeper and deeper. So please, if you feel like there's more of that that you want to percolate up and rewrite and declare, like how last week we ceremonialized the love letter to our body, I highly encourage you to ceremonialize this declaration of your beliefs moving forward and really feeling that frequency, that energy, the sensations in your body that come up as you're speaking these really empowered, juicy, beautiful, encouraging statements and declarations. So for the rest of the time, we'll just go as much into the microcosmic orbit as we can, and then we'll continue it into the next call. The microcosmic orbit is a key foundational practice in Taoist sacred sex. So again, this is a beautiful book, highly recommend. It's not in print anymore, but you could find used copies on the internet. You can still learn from it if you're not in a pairing. I think everyone on this call has a beloved that they can canoodle with. Oh, let me see here. For Elise, yes, Dory put her beliefs there for you to read if you'd like to read in the chat. Thank you, Dory. I went through this book first when I was unpartnered, and it was still extremely valuable. And then I just got to put it into practice when I was in a pairing. So, the microcosmic orbit is a foundational practice because if you imagine like a circuit board, you know, if you put too much electricity into it too quickly, it bursts, right? It short circuits. It can't hold it. And the same thing happens with our physical body. That can look like we're building up the sexual energy and it's getting so hot so fast that it just phew, it takes the path of least resistant out so you don't burst the circuit. And then that could lead to those really like sharp but superficial type orgasms where it's just like it's hot and fast and boom. And then maybe you don't actually feel that nourished or rejuvenated afterwards. Or it's just kind of like a wah wah kind of feeling after, kind of flat somehow. And another way that it could show up is maybe you are in this like, woo, like sexual ecstasy, but then you feel really ungrounded afterwards. You might have a headache. You might feel ill or feverish. Another term for when we're putting too much sexual chi, too much life force energy through the circuit is Kundalini psychosis. So you could have these symptoms of psychosis. And, you know, in general, that's just not the most fun to deal with. So it feels better to be grounded, to have the energy dispersed through the body so that it feels really yummy and nourishing and it recharges you rather than depletes you. And the beautiful thing about learning how to circulate your sexual chi is not only are you refining the energy, so making it more and more heavenly, more so like if you imagine, you know, when you're filtering anything, as you pass it through more and more filters, more circulations, it becomes more and more refined, right? More pristine. And we can do that with our sexual energy. And so as we continue refining it, circulating it, it's like it's passing through this filtering process, refinement process, and it becomes more and more heavenly, more and more transcendent, serene, yummy, pristine. It's coming into its purity. right? Its most pure essence as it's getting refined. And how that feels physically is just really pleasant. How it can feel is like really pleasant pulses throughout the entire body, waves, tingles, warmth, a deep feeling of peace, contentment, groundedness. Allowing yourself to circulate the chi also helps the channels stay open. So there's no blockages, there's no stagnancy in your system. And again, if you're circulating the sexual chi through your whole body rather than it just being concentrated at your genitals and then like getting too intense and just needing to psh, burst out, when it's going through your whole body, then you're building the foundation to have what's called valley orgasms. And valley orgasms are when you can just keep riding the wave indefinitely. It could be for hours. You could be in an orgasmic state for days. And again, it's in this like very luscious, sustainable way. Because you may think like, how in the world could you be in orgasm for days? How do you get anything done? It's not the same as those like hot, fast, phew. When you're in the actual love-making act, whether with yourself or with a beloved, it's more in that intensity of like, wow, the full body wave, orgasmic bliss. And you carry this like afterglow for days where you're in more of that, like what I call the heartgasm energy. It's just, oh, you're kind of just in this like light, erotic, yummy, drippy deliciousness for days, for as long as you wish, really, because you're just more attuned now to Eros. I mean, you're in that, you're building your sensitivity through the circulation to be able to sense and receive of the Eros, the erotic energy that is present in all of creation, and carry this with you. In this practice, it's normal to not feel that much physical sensation at first. If you're someone, maybe you have more trouble like visualizing or sensing the energy moving. If that's the case, just know that's fine. It's very common. And you're going to increase the sensation as you continue practicing. So it may be at first, as we go through this, you're imagining a little ball of energy moving through your body, and you're like, maybe sometimes you have trouble even visualizing it, getting all the way to the places it's going to go. But as time goes on, that gets easier. As you practice more, that gets easier. And eventually, you start to feel palpable sensations. Even if the sensation is just like a general sense of peace or that groundedness again, the sensation will get stronger with practice. So if it's very light or you don't sense it at first, just don't let that discourage you. You got to build the muscle. So I'll go into a description of it, and then we'll practice a few times, and then we'll go into a longer meditation with this on the next call. So the way the microcosmic orbit works is you pull up the sexual energy from the perineum. The perineum is that spot between the opening of the yoni and the anus. That's right in the middle. You could, become attuned to it there. You could put your hand on it so you know where it is. Your perineum between the opening and the anus. And on the in-breath, you pull up the energy through your spine, up the back, until you're at the top of the head when you get to the top of the breath. And on the exhale, you let that flow all the way back down through the front of the body back to your perineum. Does that make sense? So on the inhale, it's perineum up the spine to the top of the head. Exhale down the front of the body back to the perineum. So, visually, just right now, go ahead and trace that loop, that circuit, imagining, you could imagine like a little ball of light moving around this loop in your body. Even if you're not matching it with the breath yet, just really get this visual. You're seeing the ball of light moving up from the perineum to the top of the head, down the front of the body, back to the perineum, tracing it, tracing it. And as you're tracing it, now consciously try to match it with the breath. On your inhale, it goes all the way up the back to the top of the head. And on the exhale, it falls back down to the perineum. Inhaling all the way to the top of the head. And exhaling all the way back down to the perineum. And just noticing that circuit that you're building. And then we're gonna add another layer. So now, as you're doing this, you're going to touch your tongue to the roof of your mouth. It can be very soft, you know, you don't need to be like, but just make sure that your tongue is resting on the top of your palate because this is what physically closes that circuit and energetically closes that circuit. So now you're aware that your tongue is touching the roof of your mouth and you're continuing to breathe up this ball of light through the spine to the top of your head. And then you're exhaling this ball of light down the front of your face, through your tongue, down your chest, down your belly, back to your perineum. Breathing it up your tailbone, up your spine, all the way up the back of the neck to the top of the head. Exhaling it down the front of your face, through your tongue, down your throat, your chest, your belly, down to the perineum. On your own rhythm, your own time, just noticing. Getting a sense of this track, this circuit through your body. And as best as you can, really feeling and visualizing that ball of light moving around the fullness of the circuit while keeping your tongue resting on the top of the roof of your mouth. And as you begin to settle into this, we're going to add another layer. The next layer is a PC muscle squeeze. So the pulsing, contracting the pelvic floor. It's kind of the sensation when you want to stop your urine midstream. You contract the pelvic floor muscles. So, you're going to squeeze the PC muscles on the in-breath and imagine that that squeeze is like shooting the ball up your spine to the top. And on your exhale, you're going to relax your PC muscles, and that relaxation is going to let that ball drop all the way back down. You're going to squeeze it on the up, relax it on the down. Squeeze on the up and relax on the down. Squeeze on the up, relax on the down, and again, remembering to keep the tongue to the roof of the mouth. You're doing great. There's a lot of layers here. It requires your full attention. Tongue on the roof of the mouth, Inhaling up the spine, squeezing the PC muscles, relaxing the muscles. Ball falls down the front of the face, back down to the perineum. All while the tongue is connected to the roof of the mouth. Squeezing on the up, relaxing on the down through the front of the body. Squeezing up the back of the spine. Relaxing the muscles as the ball floats down the front of the body back to the perineum. And the final layer of this is that traditionally this exercise is always done in a series of three. Three is a very sacred number. You think of the Trinity, the two principles of creation and the Holy Child. The three is described in many ways, mind, body, spirit. There's different ways that this Trinity shows up in various esoteric traditions. And so this microcosmic orbit is always done in a multiple of three. So you either do it 3 times, 6 times, 9 times, or any multiple thereafter. And we're going to go through it 9 times. So I'll be the counter. You don't need to worry about the counting because it's quite a lot to keep track of. And when you are doing it by yourself, a little cheat sheet I came up with is I imagine the ball of light in the shape of the number that I'm on. So I imagine like a little one moving through on the first, and then a little two moving through on the second, and that helps me keep track. And then it's a quite another experience when you're actually in the middle of the love making and keeping all of this straight. But that adds to the fun. It really helps you stay focused. And I mean, it's honestly a great way to help disperse the chi because when you're trying to keep track of all of this, you can't help but disperse some of that away from your genitals because you're thinking about it. So I'm gonna cue a square breath. So we're gonna do 4 counts on the inhale and then 4 counts on the exhale. And again, I'll keep track of the counting, so I'll just give you the cues. But we're going to move through these 9 sets. And so, what you're going to be aware of this whole time is keeping your tongue resting on the roof of your mouth, squeezing the PC muscles on the up and letting them relax on the down. And you're following that ball of light up the back of the spine on the inhale and down the front of the body on the exhale, always at the perineum. That makes sense? Alrighty. So let's get ready. Imagine your little ball at your perineum. Again, that's the spot between the vaginal opening and the anus. So put your focus there right now. And on the count of three, we'll start our in-breath. So 1, 2, 3, inhale. 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. And coming to a pause, holding the energy at the perineum for a moment. And on this next circle, we're going to store this energy in our dantian, also known as the area of the sacral chakra, the hara, or the womb space. So on this next breath, we're going to pull it up the back of the spine, inhaling 1, 2, 3, 4. And on the exhale, imagining it now going down and swirling into your womb, into that space, like an inch below your belly button, an inch behind, in the center of your body. And that energy is swirling, swirling, swirling in the womb space, coming to a point of rest there. And as it settles there, you can imagine any excess chi dissipating from your body as a gray smoke or a mist. Or you can physically shake out your hands. Flick your hands to just discharge any excess chi. Good. And after that, just notice how your body feels. So you can practice this at any time of the day when you're waiting in line at the grocery store, when you're at the bank. You're doing whatever errands you're doing, when you're driving, you can practice your microcosmic orbit, and this is going to become very important, crucial, essential when we move into intimacy exercises where we're actually stimulating the sexual chi. So do not skimp on the microcosmic orbit. Practice, practice whenever you can. And with that, we'll close for today. I'm going to paste into the chat the Google form, the feedback form, if you're able to take 2 minutes and complete that for today. And on Thursday, we'll go even deeper into some of these foundational practice. Elise says, I notice I get butterflies in my stomach with this sometimes. Anxious energy, curious about this. Butterflies in the stomach. So I'd encourage just noticing the sensation exactly as it is prior to even assigning any sort of label of an emotion to it. Does that make sense? So right now there's a label of anxious energy or anxiety. So experiment with what happens if I sense it exactly as it is without putting words onto it. Does that make sense? And notice as you tune into it, as you breathe into that sensation, how it shifts, how it moves, because the nature of everything. Consciousness is always expanding, it's always morphing, it's always changing. Tears, emotion. So there may be, as you're moving with this exercise, there may have been some stagnant, frozen emotional energy in your tissues. And now that you're creating the spaciousness, those are arising and moving through. So, when you feel any sort of emotional release, just allow it to kind of let the tears flow. Maybe sometimes it's tears, sometimes it's shakes, sometimes it's giggles, sometimes it's rage. And we're just there to be the compassionate witness for whatever comes up. It doesn't need to change, it doesn't need to go away, it doesn't need to be different. We're just there. Like, I love to imagine taking whatever is there and going, I'm here with you. I'm here with you. Yeah. And really welcoming this. It's really beautiful, right? Things are moving. Now things are moving. So we're very welcoming of whatever comes up. And that's the exploration. What happens when I'm just with this, fully with. not distracting, not trying to shut it down or push it away. What happens when I'm really just here with you? And being brave. Being brave. You know, that's the courage to sit with what is and not look away. And know that you could always pull on the field that we've created together in this container. And if there's anything that you ever feel like sharing in the group chat about any process, feel free, even if it's not words, even if you voice memoed yourself just crying. You know, we can all hold you in the field. So know that you don't need to be in anything alone if you don't want to. Even if you just set the intention of like having that sisterhood with you, it's there instantly. You know, you're held in the field, you're cocooned in the field. Misty says, Yoni feels alive and pulsing, whole body feels appreciation. Thank you. Yes. And again, it's all welcome. All of it. There's no good, there's no bad, there's no right, there's no wrong. It's just what is. What is beautiful. That's Eros when you can tune into the aliveness of everything. Grief. Oh, I feel so alive in grief. I feel so alive in anger. Feel so alive in joy. That's the thread, right? Aliveness. Oh, that's the eroticism. It's all so alive. And that's how we open our capacity to feel more and to be with more. That's how we open our capacity for pleasure. The more we can relax into and be with the fullness of discomfort or contraction or intensity when it arises, that's what boop, 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 expands our capacity to be on the other pendulum swing side of the bliss and the rapture and the ecstasy. It's all surrender, all of it's surrender. That's why we welcome all of it. All of it. Alrighty, my dears. Sending you all so much love. And I'll see you all on Thursday. Okay. Ciao, ciao. And feel free to ch share in the chat if anything comes up between now and then. Alrighty.